And tonight is Monday, March the 17th, or 16th day of the month of Adar Bet. This is the Gemara Shir. We are finishing Masechah Sukkah tonight. We're on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis. Okay, we're on the Nun Vav of the days. Two lines before the lines get wide. Tana Rabbanan. Ma'aseh b'Miriam bas Bilga she'nira dosa. The Gemara now quotes a brisa to explain why the Chachamim punished the Mishmar of Bilga and did three things as we learned in the Mishnah. Number one, that she will always have the lechem bapana distributed in the south. Number two, her tabaas, either the ring that was used to hold the animal in place for shechita, or the ring that was used to hold up the animal when they skinned it, was locked, and she had to use someone else's. And chalunastuma, the window in which either they stored their knives or the big day kahuna was shut closed and they had to borrow space from somebody else. So the Mishnah now is going to tell us what exactly this she did that precipitated this type of reaction.
Can I, one quick question, why do you refer to Bilga as her? Isn't it the name of the Mishmar?
Yes, yeah. It's a feminine name. So it's a feminine. Miriam Bas Bilga. Doesn't sound like a male to me.
But Bilga's the name of the Mishmar.
I understand, but it's Miriam Bas Bilga. That is correct. The Mishmar was punished on account of her actions. Now, what did she do? Shehimira dasa. So that's a gishmat. You know, started to take on another religion. V'holcha v'nis'eis l'sardiyot echad mimalchei yivanim. And she decided to get married to one of the ministers of the king of Yevanim. Kishenichnesu yivanim l'heichal hoysa miva'etes b'sandala al gavi ha-mizbeach. When she entered the mizbeach, she kicked the mizbeach. But Amran, she said, Lukus, Lukus, Ad Mosai Atah Michale Mamonon Shel Yisrael. Your little wolf, Wolfie, how long are you going to what? Destroy or consume the money of Am Yisrael? V'i Atah Omeid Aleim B'Shasatchak. And you, Mizbeach, namely God, are doing nothing to stand up to them at a time of their oppression and persecution. That's what she did. When the Chachamim heard about this, kavu es tabata, they closed up her ring, visatmu et chalona, and they shut her window. That's one interpretation.
Because when one person went off the derech, the whole Mishmar gets punished.
Okay, that's going to be one of the major questions that we show them are going to deal with. V'yesh omrim, and others say, mishmarto shoheh, that what the mishmar happened was, not that one person went there and kicked the mizbeach, but this particular mishmar was always late in getting to the mikdash. Many of them did not arrive until Sunday. Since the switch was made on Shabbos, by definition, they had to arrive by Friday. Many of them felt to come to Friday, and then not much activity in the Mikdash on Shabbos, other than the Korban Tumah Shel Shachar, the Korban Musaf, and the Korban Tumah Shel Bein Arbayim. No voluntary Korbanot are offered, so you don't get much chance to what? To reap any benefit from your working in the Mizbeach. It's not going to get, you're going to get a roast beef sandwich by working on Shabbos. So many of them decided to come first on Sunday. And Shemishmar Shohev Lavo Vinichnas Yeshevav Achiv Imo Vishimesh Tachtav. So the next Mishmar, which was called Yeshevav, worked.
No, the one before.
What?
The one before, it was still there.
Right, the one right. The one before them stayed longer and finished up her turn. Finished up her turn. Until they would show up. Afal pi shishchene harashayim lo nistakru, even though normally neighbors of Rishaim do not generally benefit, Shchene Bilga Nistakru. The neighbors of Bilga did gain something. Shebilga Liolam Cholekes Bidaron, the Yeshev of Achiv Bitzafon. Yeshev of the one who hung out longer, even though they were leaving, they got to distribute their Lechem Apanim in the northern side. Bilga, who was arriving, had their Lechem Apanim distributed in the southern side. So says the stories of the Mikdash, of the So Rashi says, Miriam Bas Bilga, Mimishmar Bilga Haisa V'chein Shema. Miriam was from the Mishmar of Bilga. That's that she was the daughter of Bilga, but from the Mishmar belonging to Bilga, V'chein Shema. Kishenichnisu Yevanim Leheichal Bimei Matisyo Ben Yoichanan. When did the Yevanim enter the Heichal? During Matisyo Ben Yoichanan. We say that Kishenichnisu Yevanim Leheichal, you know, Timbu Kalash Manim. So Rashi identifies this with the episode of Chanukah. And that's when this particular episode of Bilga entering, of Miriam Bas Bilga entering the Mikdash and kicking the Mizbeach and claiming HaKadosh Baruch Hu two things. Number one, why don't you have any respect for their money? Why do you allow them to waste their money on the Mizbeach? And number two, why don't you respond to the oppression? Because the Chashmonaim were losing at that time to the Yevanim. The Yevanim were making headway. In fact, they desecrated the entire Mikdash. So that's when this particular event took place. So says Rashi. The question which everybody asks on Rashi is that the Gemara in Tainus tells us that during Bayis Sheni, 24 Mishmarot did not come back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. The 24 Mishmarot of Kohanim existed during Bayis Rishon. As we had learned previously, they were initially established by Shmuel V'David. That's even before Bayis Rishon. And they existed throughout Bayis Rishon. However, during Bayis Sheni, when the overwhelming majority of Jews did not make Aliyah with Ezra, including those who were reluctant to come, were Kohanim and Leviim as well. In fact, it is stated that Ezra had to threaten the Kohanim that if they don't come to Eretz Yisrael, he's going to tell everybody, do not give your truma to a Kohen, give it to a Levi. There is much discussion about how could he tell a Levi to eat truma. After all, a Levi is a czar living in truma, and he's chayv misa b'dei shemayim, but Ezra maybe had some connections. But that's not my issue. All we know is that they were reluctant to go, and the text itself tells us only 43,258 people came from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael with Ezra. And only four of the 24 Mishmarot. And Bilga's was not one of the 24. So asks many Rishonim on Rashi and Achronim. How could Rashi claim that this episode took place at the time of Bayis Sheni with Bilga, if Bilga's Mishmar never came back from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael after Churban Bayis Rishon? That's the question which everybody asks. And in fact, we know the names of the four Mishmarot which did come back with Ezra. They were Yida'aya, Cherim, Pashchor, and Imra. Those are the four Mishmarot that came back. And the Gemara itself in Tainis states this explicitly on Dav Zayin Amud Aleph. Yes.
Why is the question on Rashi? Isn't it plain shot from the Gemara? Because they said that she married a Greek officer. It wouldn't make sense to say it's the bias Rishon. It wasn't the Greeks in the bias Rishon.
Correct. Correct. So it's correct. So, but Rashi is the one who says it's the time of the Chashmonaim. And even though the Gemara would say Sardiot doesn't necessarily mean a Greek officer.
No, Yevanim it says it.
Malchay Yevanim.
Okay.
So
it had to have been by
Shem. I'm not saying no, but Rashi emphasizes here that it's the time of the Chashmonaim. So everybody's getting hysterical on Rashi. Because he can ask the question on the Brisa too. No doubt. So there are several answers to this. Number one is that yes, indeed, the four were the only ones who went up. However, the four, in order to maintain loyalty to the initial takana of David and Shmuel of Chavdal and Mishmarot, subdivided the four Mishmarot into 24 Mishmarot and distributed the same names that had existed during Bais Rishon. So factually, the information is correct. Only four came up. But then, instead of just operating with four Mishmarot, they further divide, obviously much smaller groups, when you divide four groups of people into 24, and they assume the same names. Hence, the name of this particular tribe was Miriam Bas Bilga, despite the fact that it wasn't necessarily the same Bilga during Bais Rishon. That's one interpretation. That's what the Karen Oira suggests. A second interpretation is that despite the fact that initially only 43,000 Jews came up with Ezra, subsequently, after the Beis HaMikdash was built, they saw that Shivat Zion is taking hold, taking root, and that many, many thousands additional Jews joined them. And this is talking about later on, after they had all joined. And once they had all joined, therefore there's no kasha, they're back in business, because they came up from Bavel to join them in Eretz Yisrael. So that's the question which everybody asked. That's the answer which generally provided. Point number two. She was boet in the Mizbeach. If you take a look at the sheet that I distributed, on page number one, there is a Gemara here which tries to identify words that have similar meanings to other words. So here, Rabbi Lazar makes the statement, Mizbeach, or Maziach, or Mazin, or Michabev, really mean what? Michaper. They're all some type of synonyms for what? For atonement. Right? So if you don't want to know what a Mizbeach really means, it's a vehicle to be Michaper. A vehicle to be mechaper.
This is
Ksubis Daf Yud Amid Beis. Ksubis Yud Amid Beis. Yeah. If you take a look at Rashi in that daf, under the word mazin, Rashi b'dibra maskel mazin. Because Rashi says Mizbeach, Maziach, and Mazin. Says Rashi, Mazin, Bizichut HaKorbanot Ha'alom Nizon, SheHaKorbanot Ba'in Min HaMazon V'Gormen Lo Bracha. Mazin means, is also a reference to Korbanot.
Mizonot.
Why is the word Mazin related to Korbanot? Based on the fact that through the korbanot, all of the food in this world is blessed. Why are all the foods of this world blessed? Due to the fact of what do we offer on the Korbanot? Food. So when you offer food on the Mizbeach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is to what? To reciprocate and bless the food. We do this, for example, on Sukkot. What do we do on Sukkot to warrant HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessings? The Nisuch HaMayim. We pour the water on the Mizbeach. Why? If we pour the water on the Mizbeach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bless the world with adequate rainfall. So, and this is Garmin Lo Bracha. So, it is so odd that Bilga is trying to undermine by kicking the Mizbeach. What does she say? Ad Masai Ata Michale Mamon Shel Yisrael. What does it mean, Ata Michale Mamon Shel Yisrael? You take hundreds and you're wasting the money of Bnei Yisrael. How does the Mizbeach waste money of Bnei Yisrael? Well, people offer, take food and offer it as a korban. Either animals or flour and oil, korban mincha. So she says that the activity which is which the Mizbeach is used for is responsible for wasting money. And in reality, what exactly does that Mizbeach do? It generates a bracha for the food that is being put on the Mizbeach. So her entire argument is absolutely contradictory to what the purpose, the essence of the Mizbeach really is. And as a result, Chazal took it very, very seriously, and they decided to do something. They decided to do something to her. Decided to do something to her. Yeah. So, yeah. So what did they do? So there are two reasons as to why they may have done something. Either she was Hamer Dasa and she kicked the Mizbeah, or the Shevet was late. So if the Shevet was late, you can understand why you punish the entire Shevet. Everybody can understand it. There's a correlation. However, if it's only one activity of Miriam Bas Bilga, she acted inappropriately. Suddenly, the Gemara will ask the question, why are you punishing the entire families? Let's read the Gemara and then open up for see some discussion. Let's read the Gemara. Says the Gemara. Bishloma lemandi yomar misharso mishmarto shohelovo. I can understand, according to the second opinion, who says that the mishmar used to come late, not show up on Friday, but on Sunday. That's why it would be legitimate to punish the entire Mishmar. Because of one little daughter who decided to adopt another religion, you're going to punish the entire Mishmar. Yes. Kidamrianchi, as people say, Shusa Dianuka Vishuka O Davua O Dehime. The words that you hear from little children in the marketplace, you know they didn't learn it on their own. They learned it from their mother or their father. So when kids go off the derech, you know, blame the parents. Es the Gemara. Umishum Abua Vime Kansina Lukule Mishmara. And because of the mother, okay, the children, you can blame the parents, but the entire Mishmar you're gonna blame? Omar Abaye Oila Rasha Oila Shchena. Okay? So if you have some Rishaim there, everybody's gotta suffer. Oila Rasha Oila Shchena. That's what the Gemara says. So let's take a look at, let's analyze some of the discussion here. Virtually everybody says that the knas that took place against the family of Miriam, Abilga, was not because she was Hamer Dasa, but rather because she kicked the Mizbeach. Almost everybody says that. Why? Why? Because when you come to be mivazeh kodshim, mivazeh nemizbeach, that can have a ripple effect for everybody else. It's a public demonstrative act that has an opportunity or a possibility of spreading its message to other people. If the Chashmona, if the Yevanim are indeed attacking, and this person's rightful expression is, you know, look at, why isn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu helping us? She explained why she kicked him as bad. Rabbeinu Shelolam, why aren't you responding to the difficulty? And that's a question that is legitimately asked every time B'nai Yisrael are oppressed. Why, where are you, Rabbeinu Shelolam? Why do you let it happen? So that type of activity could have a disastrous ripple effect, and as a result, you would indeed consider punishing the entire Mishmah. However, Heimir Dasa is simply a single act of what? Of one family. Not everybody is as concerned about that that's one. You wouldn't punish the entire Mishmar for that activity. So to document this, that Bizayon of Kodshin is considered a lot worse. So please open up first to page 3 and 4, which is a tshuva of Rav Moshe. It's an Igros Moshe Yerideya, Chelek Beis, Siman Tes Zayin. Igros Moshe Yerideya, Chelek Beis, Siman Tes Zayin. And the question which Rav Moshe handles here is a very technical question. Is a shaychet allowed to shech wearing gloves during Shechita because he doesn't want to get his hands full of blood? That's the question for a Moshe. Or is it necessary for a Shechit to hold the knife and, you know, and with his hand? No gloves or not? That's the question to which he asks. So,
what's the Hava mean?
Because, as he's going to say, by Kachim you can't do so. Kachim, you can't do so. That's going to make his distinction. Even though we're not talking about a Kayin. A Kayin can't wear any gloves because he's not allowed to have a chatzitza between himself and any utensil. But Shechit is Ksheira Bazaar, even for Kachim. So you and me can... there's no halacha Big Day Kahuna by us. So perhaps we could wear gloves and he's going to say you should not because it's a Bizayon of Kachim.
Even though this is not kachim, it's a bizyon.
No, that's what he's going to say. It's not. Okay. That's going to be his distinction. And he writes as follows in the last paragraph. Dam, first he says in the paragraph above, he just writes, "Nahatam ulai yesh le'asor b'shchita af shi'itzias hadam eino mitzvah kevin b'chol shchit ikar etzos hadam." He wants to consider the possibility you shouldn't wear gloves because maybe you're making a statement. You know what? I'm not doing this mitzvah because I'm going to get my hands dirty. What's the only way I can do this mitzvah? It's if I put on a glove. That he's considering the possibility as what? A bizoyin of a mitzvah. So now he's going to respond. Vegam, now my bracket. Kevon she'ein shum chiyuv. Since there is absolutely no obligation to shech the behemoth. Vegam lo maila. There's no grace of mala, no great benefit and zechut to shech. Umidas chasidus hu shiba atzmo yikai mitzvah shechita. Even if you plan on eating a roast beef sandwich, it's maybe at best a midas chasidus for you to shech the animal in order to eat the roast beef sandwich. If I ask somebody else to shech my animal, I don't violate the general principle that even though shlichus is acceptable, it's always better to do a mitzvah for yourself than to ask somebody else. With this particular activity, that rule doesn't apply. If it doesn't apply, why doesn't it apply? Because it's not really a mitzvah. It's not really a mitzvah to shecht an animal. The mitzvah of shechita is basically a matir, not a mitzvah. It's matir, the Easter of Eivah and Achai. But there is no mitzvah to do so under any circumstances. If you want to eat meat, you have to shecht an animal. So he writes, Efshar ein bazeh sheyimona milishchot af bishvil lichluch shum grius of ichisaro. So therefore, somebody who decides not to shecht based on the fact, what's the reason why he decides? Because he's going to get all dirty. That's not a chisaro. Umimela ein lahachshiv ze bizoyo. And nonetheless, it is not considered what? To be considered a bizoya. And here he comes to Kachim, and he's going to quote our Gemara. V'loy domi l'kachim. This can't be compared to Kachim. Sha'af im oved shelo b'mishmarto hu bizayom. Lo rak b'shvil tam echot shishaye b'chol ofan, el adam b'shvil tam beiz, de le'olam yesh l'kohen lios chavivo lo ho'avoida b'mikdash. Im ach yanichu lo la'avod, ukeshiyimne mi la'avod, bishvil lichluch hayodayim l'bizayon. That if a kohen would decide what? I'm not shechting, I'll do something else. I'm not doing zrikas adam, I don't want to get my fingers all dirty. So you know what I'll do? I'll do activities which don't require my hands to get dirty. That is considered bizayon kachim. Bizayon kachim. Turn over the page, and he quotes our Gemara to prove it. Top of the page. Vigam haknas lemishmeres bilga b'sof psuka lehaorim demishmarto shohe lavo lohaya mishum hachet hashishia. According to our Gemara, according to the opinion that they punished Bilga for what reason? Because she was late, says Rashi, not because of the lateness itself. Elokidapirish Rashi, shedemizem muchacha milsa she'ein ho'avoida chaviva aleha. Rashi says that. Let's take a look at the Rashi, back in our Gemara, back in the Gemara, second wide line. Mishmarto shel bilga shohelavo, kishihigia shabashalah, when the week, their week came, lohayabai, umucha chamilsa she'ein havoida chaviva aleha. So it's not so much that you came late, it's what the lateness shows. What does it show? Avoida, what's the big deal? Do not avoida. So when you engage in an activity that has a demonstrative statement, that is a significant action. So for that element that you are mivaze, the avoida and the mikdash, that's why, what did they decide to do? To punish the entire mishma. To punish the entire mishma. And in fact, that the Rambam writes, the Rambam's words are, Leman yishmu v'yiro v'lo yizidunod. Cites the pasuk in Parshas Shoftim that there are times when you issue an edict, sometimes it seems somewhat in excess of what it deserves, but why do you do it? Leman yishmu v'yiro. Primarily you have that by cases which don't make a whole lot of sense to punish somebody. For example, give me two of the places where it says Leman Yishmu V'Yiro, and you did so based on the fact that it's going to have a terrible impression. So the Torah says that's why I want you to, even though it's not tit for tat.
Ben Sarah
Umayra is number one. A kid had some wine and he ate some meat. For that you're going to kill him? A 13-year-old boy? Between 13 years old and 13 and 3 months, seems to be a little overreaction. But it can have, you know, Leman Yishmu V'Yiro, that's what the pasuk itself says. Edim Zomamin Leman Yishmu V'Yiro. What did they do? They said, Imanu Hayisa. We were somewhere else. So the other two witnesses who were proven to be Zomamin, they get killed. But they didn't kill anybody. But they didn't wind up killing anybody. It's attempted murder. For attempted murder, you don't get killed. If I attempt to kill you, I don't get killed. I don't. Especially if I did nothing. I don't get killed. Again, they may not get me after Yain on Yom Kippur, but you don't get me in court. Here you get executed by a court. Where else? Where else?
Zakei Mamre.
Zakei Mamre. In Parsha Shoiftim. Correct. Torah says, L'man Yishim V'lo Yizidino. A member of the Beis Din paskined against the psak of the Beis Din. Beis Din voted on an issue. The majority triumphed. And the minority said, for himself, he's allowed to do whatever he wants. He's obligated to do whatever he wants. But he's not allowed to paskin for somebody else. This Zaken Mamre paskin for somebody else. So the Torah says, V'lo yizidunod, you kill him. So wherever there is a serious issue, you overreact. You overreact. Says the Rambam in Perush HaMishnayis, that's what's happening here as well. Since this is a serious mikdash issue, you overreact. What is the overreaction? What's the overreaction? What's the entire mishmar was made to pay for something that the next generation has to suffer because what the previous generation did. Even if it was the whole mishmar came late, doesn't mean next generation to come late. And certainly, if it was only Miriam Bas Bilga. Furthermore, if you take the next sheet, take number page number 2 for a minute. Page number 2. Here you see a different perspective as to whether or not a similar perspective of overreacting and not only punishing the guilty party. Not only punishing the guilty party. This is Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Chaf Ches. Kuf Chaf Ches. Aruch Haim, Simen Kuf Chaf Ches. Simen Mem Aleph in the Ramah. Says the Mechaber. It's talking about Hilchos Birchos Kahan. That's the unit, Hilchos Birchos Kahan. Nitmal lemeis she'eino mashiva meisei mitzvah. If a kohen went to a cemetery and it was mitami lemeis, and the deceased was not one of the sheva mitzvah, not the seva relatives, to which he's obligated to be mitami lemeis, pasul min haduchan, he is disqualified from duchening, umikol ma'alot hakuna. And from all of the special benefits that we give to a kohen, calling them up first, timim mechabirim to bench, and so on and so forth, ad shiyashuv v'yikabel shelo yitma od lemeisim, until he'll do tshuva and say, I will not be metami lemeis any longer. Okay, fine. Now that's only punishing the guilty party. Doesn't say you punish anybody else. Says the Ramah. Yesh omrim, the mi sheyesh lo bas shehi mira laakum o zinsa ein mechayvin od likadsho ki avia hi michalelas. I saved the tree by just relying on the next page underneath. What does he say? If a daughter of a kohen married out of faith. Intermarried. Or had an affair. Ozinsa. Bas Kohen. So then, what do we do? The Kohen forfeits all of his rights of Vikidashtai to sanctify him. How do we fulfill the mitzvah of Vikidashtai? Call him up first. You give him first the best portion. So on and so forth. Why? Says the Ramah. It's a pasuk in the Chumash. What does the pasuk say? What? The Hakohen Gadol Esav Sechel is nose Esavia he mechalelas. that if a daughter of a Kohen Gadol goes ahead and what? And is Mizaneh, she has a very harsh punishment. What does she get? Sreifa. Not the normal punishment of Chenek. Why? Because she disgraced her father. So the Ramah takes that statement not only to say that the daughter gets a harsh what punishment because she disgraced her father, but what happens? What do? You disgrace the father. You disgrace the father. You deny him kibudim based on the daughter's activity. Based on the daughter's activity. And many achroinim point the Ramah, get support now with Gemara. What happened? Miriam Bas Bilga did something, so who did he blame? Her father, her parents, and the entire Mishmar. So the Ramah seems to buy into this idea documented in our Gemara as well. The Ramah happens to buy into this. As well. Yeah.
So is there any kasha? I mean, I know the answer is no. So when a mohel wears gloves,
that's for the baby's protection. That's
okay. So Rav Moshe writes that bizayin mitzvah doesn't apply. It doesn't apply. So firstly, he's not obligated to circumcise this child. He's not. What does it say here? Who's obligated to circumcise the child? The father. That's all. So if the father with gloves, that might be a bizayin. So next time you have a boy. You know, and you want to do the bris?
I did my last one. I didn't.
Did you wear gloves?
Yeah, but a mohel will wear surgical gloves, not as a bizoya.
Correct,
not
because he wants to be.
But nowadays, thinking by shlishi, you think people are going to wear gloves?
Yes. Yeah. In today's time, people will wear gloves. And that is correct, and it will not be considered a bizoya. Because it's not being done just to get their hands clean.
Right.
Katzenstein doesn't mind getting a little blood over them. It's because of the possibility of...
In the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to wear gloves.
That's correct. In the Beis HaMikdash.
Really? Why the Beis HaMikdash?
Oh, you want it in the Beis HaMikdash?
Yeah, to protect themselves from...
From what?
From diseases.
Of the animal?
Yeah, in both ways.
Yeah? Okay. If there are animal diseases that are communicated by blood, they probably will. They probably will. Yeah, why not? To protect you. It's not a bizayim. It's not a bizayim. It's to protect you.
Yeah, it's off topic, but what do you do with the Kohen who he faints at the sight of blood? I mean, there are people like that. It's like, that's not a bizayon and they can't handle it.
Okay, so then don't do that avaida. When your name comes up, pass. Wait till you get called to do Ketiris. That's all. To do something else that doesn't require them.
I feel bad for those guys.
I know, because three of the avaidas, four of the avaidas of a korban, either transport the blood, you're looking at it, sprinkling the blood, shechting, it's all dam related. Dam plays a big role in the Beis HaMikdash. On Yom Kippur, Azoas, that's all they do inside. Yeah. Yeah. So again, these are illustrations of how this principle applies to not only the guilty party, but to the Mishmar as well. And it happens to touch upon a very serious discussion in Rishonim, not here, but in Rosh Hashanah, as to whether or not there is a correlation between children and parents when they transgress. The Pasuk says in Parshas Kisetze, I know I mentioned this once before, Lo yumsu banos al avon avotam, uban vad, and lo banam alav, ven lo yumsu avot al banim, ish b'cheto yumasu. Children should not die on account of the transgression of their parents, and parents should not die on a transgression of their child. Each person dies on account of their own action. That's one pasuk. And yet, in the Aseres HaDibros, it says, Poked Avon Avos, Al Banim Al Shilashim, Kodesh Baruch Hu remembers for four generations. So you have the many famous answers. But it's a discussion. It's a discussion.
Is the issue here, I don't know if you're going to talk about it more about Miriam, is the issue that she went off the derech or that she was mevaza the mizbeach?
Those are the two episodes. According to most, the reason why she was the mishma was punished was not because she went off the derech, because she was mevaza the mizbeach. Because of bizoyan of the mikdash, not because she went off the derech.
So are the parents being blamed for that she went off the derech? Or because
no,
she was mevaza the mizbeach?
Because she was mevaza the mizbeach.
Okay.
And that's something where you have to make a stand. You have to make a stand against that type of behavior. Certain things you make a stand against, and certain things you don't make a stand against.
I want to be precise. So the parents are not being blamed at all for going off the derech?
According to most, they are not being blamed for going off the derech. The Gemara, the Brisa says they were, but the reason why they were punished was because bo'ata b'mizbeach.
Okay, so now you just...
You went because there was a buffer heresy, you think?
Correct.
It was a
public thing of doing the mizbeach, which that's where you have to overreact.
I understand it, but so the parents—it is the parents' fault that she went off the derech.
We don't know. No one says that they were punished for that reason. The only one who writes that is the Rama.
Okay.
That's why I brought the Rama. Nobody else says that besides that the Rama that a daughter who is hamer, you should tell the father you're not being mekadesh and vikidashtoy doesn't apply. It would not appear that way from our Gemara.
Because when you look at least Rashi, he focuses on the fact that they were mevaza the avoda.
Correct.
You know, not that they were mevaza Yiddishkeit, for instance, just the avoda part.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yes, right.
Because the parents complained about the avoda, she got the impression that.
But it's not hamer dasa. Rashi is. Okay. It's not hamer dasa. Just confirming what you said.
Right, okay.
That's not the reason to. Now, the source, the Gemara answered that the reason why we do punish them is based on the halach of Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechena. So, Rashi, Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechena, cites us the Mishnah in the Goyim and the Braisa, which tells us what is the origin of the halach of Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechena. So we who learn Chumash, what would be our reference to Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechena? Korach. Who got dragged along? The Ein Ben Peles B'nei Reuven. Asked Rashi. Where does Ein Ben Peles B'nei Reuven get caught into this machlokes? So Rashi says, because the Degel of Reuven was right next to what? Shevet Levi. So Oyle Rosh, Oyle Shechena. However, the Gemara in Maset, the Mishnah in the Gaim, Rashi quotes the Brice here as well, teaches us from a halachic perspective. That if you have what's called nig'e batim, you have a nega that appears in a wall. Now this wall, this nega developed in your wall, is a wall shared by two neighbors. You and your neighbor next door. Now why do you get nig'e batim? So the Gemara offers seven possibilities. Why? One of them, which Rashi quotes, is gase haruach. You're very haughty. So when you're very haughty, you get negayim. Fine. Now, what does the Torah say you're supposed to do with the nega that develops in a bias?
Eventually, destroy the house.
Supposed to knock down that wall. Down that wall. Well, that wall also serves as the wall for the next door neighbor. Says Rashi, I the Rasha, I the Shechina. That's the sukkah. Who told you to live next to a guy who lives haughty? Who's haughty? Or whatever he does, any avera? That's the source of Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechena. That's what Rashi says. Even though, and Rashi quotes another explanation, not that he was Balgaiva, but he was cheap. Ha'isa'ena Sora Bekelov. He was cheap, tight, didn't want to lend anything. So, you know, because what had happened that was Rashi's mashal there as well. What did you say? I don't have anything to lend you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, I'm going to show the whole world, you got plenty to lend. Knock down the wall, your house is open. But what did that next guy neighbor do? He didn't do anything. Yeah. Then the Mishnah just concludes and says, well, if Amar Abaye, last two lines, Oyla Shechena. Gemara concludes on a good note, Toiv Latzadik, Tov L'Shechena. That if somebody lives next to a good neighbor, you have You know, what insurance companies do
they have? State Farm.
But State Farm, the good neighbor. Good neighbor is here, that's all. So if you're a good neighbor, then you benefit not only from this one, but from being good. Very nice. Good. Now Rashi says, because even though Rashi says, as the Gemara quotes in relationship to the punishment as well, Miruba mida taiva, miruba mida peronios. That if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inclined to punish for doing something wrong, and he punishes four generations, so the Torah says, "No tzechesed la alafin." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is inclined to do good 500 times. Here too. If you have Oyla Rosh, Oyla Shechenai, so it's just the immediate neighbor. But if it's Toiv L'Shechenai, says 500 neighbors will be the beneficiary of that which you have for this person. Very nice. Okay. So we can actually say a Hadran. I think we did justice to Masechah Sukkah. I must say, we did justice to it. You know, I don't think we ran through it. And so we'll take a vote as to what do you want to learn, and then we'll start right away. Well, the shir's not over. Because I already have the Hagdama for the next one. So what do you want to learn? Take up my next one. What do you want to learn? Let's take a vote. The way that the Rav always does this. Ends up on the ball.
I want Makkas.
What?
I want Makkas.
I was considering Makkas.
Great, thanks.
But I did it already.
Right. I did it already.
Who's here when you was with Makkas? Remember? Okay, so I don't do repeats. Did Makkas. Okay? So that's why I eliminated Megillah, Tainus, Rosh Hashanah, and Bakkas. We eliminated it. So what do you want to vote for?
Give us a multiple choice.
Take whatever you want. Ksubas? Okay, Ksubas.
I'm finishing this next week.
Sanhedrin, number two. Anybody else want to vote? Anybody else want to vote?
Yuma
is a good Masechta. It's good Masechta.
Have you done Beitza yet here?
You know how many years I did Beitza in the shul? Oh. You were not in the shul?
Shabbos
afternoons. Right. Yeah. Must have been 10 years. At least 10 years on Beitza. At least 10 years on Beitza.
I might have come at the tail end of that one.
Okay, so we're going to learn Mayit Kata. So I wanted to do something I never taught before. So we're doing Mayit Kata, which is all about Cholamayit. All about Cholamayit. And in Yoni Avelis.
I don't want to be evidentiary. I don't want to know what I can't do. Okay.
So I'm going to start by doing a little overview of the three-way Machloikis concerning the Isra Malach upon which the whole Sechus Mayit Katan is based. So, please take out your sheets. Page 5.
Look, I was trying to figure it out.
You even brought the sheets.
I did look. I was like, where did you put
the page? Page 5. So this is Parshas Re'eh. We'll read this last day Yontif. Always read this last day Yontif. Sheshes Yomim Tochal Matzot. Ubayom Ashvi Atzeres Lashem Elokecha. Finish the pasuk to save a tree. Nu Balei Kriya. Lotase Kol Malacha. Lotase Malacha. I don't think it's a, what is it? Kol Malacha? Malacha. Lotase Malacha. Very nice. So the Gemara in Chagiga, Rashi does not quote this here, the Gemara in Chagiga says, I'm going to compare Yom HaShvi'i to the Sheshes Yom. Ma Yom HaShvi'i Asur B'Malacha, just as the seventh day of Pesach is Asur B'Malacha, it says, Lo Sasa Malacha, Af Sheshes Yamin is also b'malacha. The 6 days, it's not really the 6 days, because the first day is Yantiv, but the 5 days of Cholamayit in between are also b'malacha. Also b'malacha. So now comes the question of how to treat, this is the Gemara, And it's an intriguing question as to how Rishonim make this decision. Sometimes there are drushos of psukim, which they take literally, and they generate an isur. And sometimes you look at the drushos and say, what? It's a smachta ba'alma. Yeah, it's not serious. It's a smachta. It's not really serious. This, as to whether to take it serious or not, is a three-way machloikis between Rashi and the Rif on the one hand, the Rambam on the other hand, and the Ramban on the third hand. The Rif is of the opinion, says, that mita oraisa, all melachos of Yom Tov, are asar on Chol HaMoed. Mita oraisa, based on the Gzeirah Shava, the Hekesh, of Sheshes Yomim to Yom HaShvi, mita oraisa, all melachos, with the exception of Oichel Nefesh, because melachas Oichel Nefesh is mutter on Yom Tov, so certainly on Chol HaMoed, but all other melachos are also mida oraisa. However, since it says ubayoin hashvi'i, the hey hayadiya, they learn that only the yoin hashvi'i has what? Every single isa melacha. But Chol HaMoed doesn't have every single isa melacha. Which melachos are eliminated, are excluded? Two categories. Melachos which are what? Dover ha'avud. And melachos which are me'in yana diyoyma. To enhance what? Simchas yata. So the Rif and Rashi both claim that fundamentally the Isur Melacha on Chol HaMoed is an Isur Doraisa. And they take this absolutely seriously. Absolutely seriously. Except they come to the category based on the fact that it says V'yoyim HaShvi'i, not every Melacha of Yoyim HaShvi'i is only Yoyim HaShvi'i. But don't apply it to others. So if you have any Melacha which, if not done, will lead to financial loss, or an activity which is designed to what? Enhance Yom Tov, those are Mutter Midoraisa. Mutter Midoraisa. So says Rashi in the Rif. Take a look at the Rambam, next page, page 6 of the handout. This is the Rambam in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Yontov, Halacha Aleph. Cholo Shomoed, Afal Pi Shelo Ne'emar Bo Shabbaton, even though the word Shabbaton, which means cessation of Melacha, is not recorded in relationship to Cholo Moed, the word Shabbaton is limited to Bayom HaRishon, or Bayom HaShvi, or Bayom HaShmini, in the case of what? Shmini Atzeres. Hoil v'nikra mikra kodesh, since all 7 days are described as mikra kodesh, v'harei huzman chagiga b'mikdash, and they also have the component that you can bring the korban chagiga in the mikdash, asur ba'asiyas malacha, kidei shelo yeh kishar yemos hachol, she'ein behem kedusha klal. They are invested with an isa malacha so that they don't wind up looking like what? An ordinary day. So the Rambam clearly telling you that this is what? A din derabanan. And it will say it black and blue in a second. The ha'oseh bo malacha hu'asura, anybody who does a malacha that is prohibited, makinoso makash mardus, you administer lashes midirabanan. She'isuro midivrei sofer, because the isur of malacha and Chol HaMoed is only midrabbanan. V'lo kol meleches avoida asura bo b'yom tov ki yom tov. Not every meleches avoida is prohibited like yom tov. She'sof ha'inyan bidvarim she'ne'esru bo kidei she'lo yiyeh b'yom chol l'chol davar. After all, what's the only purpose of the reason of generating an isur malacha? Just to make it not like an ordinary day. In order not to make it like an ordinary day, I don't have to prohibit every single malacha. Lefikach, Yesh melachos asuros bo, v'yesh melachos mutaros bo. Therefore, there are melachos that are permissible, and there are melachos that are prohibited. But I can accomplish my objective of making it somewhat different without legislating that every single melacha happens to be asur. So the Rambam clearly holds that melacha on Chol HaMoed happens to be asur only midurabanan. Only midurabanan. The Ramban comes up with a pshara. With a pshara. He holds that fundamentally, in character, the Issa Malacha is a Da'oraisa on Chol HaMoed. Issa Malacha is an Issa, the Da'oraisa is on Chol HaMoed. However, certain activities are also, are mutter by definition Mid'oraisa. Certain activities are mutter Mid'oraisa, very much like Rashi in the Rif, such as Davar Ha'avud and so on and so forth. But the Chachamim added a category above and beyond what the Torah writes, which is not in the category of Malach. Namely, Chachamim Asru Tircha Yiseya, simply engaging in expending too much effort, despite the fact that it might be an activity which should have been permissible. If it generates lots of effort and time-consumed Shamshin, Chachamim will prohibit it. And Ma'asei Uman. What does Ma'asei Uman mean? The activity of a skilled artisan, a skilled laborer, tailors, craftsmen. Craftsmen's activity, Ma'asei Uman, are prohibited. Midrabanan. So the Ramban is so much Mishnah. In character, in theory, he agrees with the Rif and Rashi that the nature of the Issa Malach is a Dindo Raisa. However, the certain activities midoraisa are permitted, such as Rashi in the Rif, but he goes one step beyond them, that the Chachamim generated a whole slew of category, a new category of asa midrabanan activities. One, tircha yisera; two, maase uman, which are all prohibited. So those are the three main shitos which will serve as the governing machloikis for the first two prakim of Maseches Moed Katan, which deal with the Issa Malacha, which happen to have a lot of overlap to what will take place next year, Shemitah. Much of the discussion about what types of Malachos are prohibited during the Shemitah year and permitted in order to avoid enormous financial loss to farmers, so what they're allowed to do, happens to find its way in Mayit Katan as an overlap between that and Chol HaMoed. And then the last parak is the third parak of Eilu Megalchin, of which is the entire Dine Avelus, of the laws of Avelus. In fact, in 1967, when the Rav lost his mother, his brother, and his wife, within a span of 3 months, he came back to the yeshiva. He just was so broken, he couldn't learn anything. What did he do? He learned Hilchos Avelus. He learned Eilu Megalchin and the third parak of Brachos of Misha Meso, and he actually learned Shulchan Aruch. He said the only way he feels better is if he's constantly learning Avelus topics. So that's what he did for the next 6 months. He only did Inyanei Avelus because it said it made him feel a little better afterwards. As you all know, he said Kaddish for 5 years for his wife after she passed away. He said Kaddish for 5 years, not a year. He just kept saying Kaddish.
Not Shloshim.
But
not 30 days.
Not 30 days either. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the Rambam holds Divrei Sofrim. It's Midrabanan.
Completely Midrabanan. That's correct. All right, we'll stop here. Next week, Mayit Katan. Glad I took all the suspense out. Yeah. I need a physical thing.